I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our favorite time of the week.
High school sweethearts turned married couple with two kids.
Join us for a conversation on life, parenting, marriage, and more.
Welcome to Close Enough.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to another weekend with the Thomas family.
Hello.
Shout out to everybody that listened last week. We appreciate you very much. Appreciate sharing. Ben Miller shared the podcast. Shout out, Ben.
Thank you.
Then the usuals, Seth, Jason. You know, the squad.
The squad. Thanks for sharing.
I'm happy. This is at night. The last couple nights, we've tried to sit down and do this, and
I came down here.
We both said it last night, like, you know, let's just go to bed.
It was two nights ago. I walked all the way down these stairs. With every ounce of energy I had left in my body. And I get here, and Gary was like, you know what?
I was like, damn it. I was yawning when she sat down. Yeah. So we want to be vibrant, happy, super dandy for you guys.
Super dandy.
Or
wow,
just close enough.
Just close enough. I'm going to be honest that I'm not feeling super nor dandy, but I'm going to be.
But you're on the mend.
I think so.
It's we don't ask anything of you, except if you like what you hear, share it, tell a friend. Write a letter to Congress, something. I don't know. However you feel like you can support us, we appreciate it. Or just listen.
Just listen.
Listen in silence. A lot of listeners from Denmark last week.
What? That's not real.
That's 100% real. You always say that like it's a
surprise. I just think it's true. Odd. Speaking of odd, I got a postcard in the mail, unmarked, from California, San Diego.
And it was like a happy, inspirational one.
Oh, like you matter. What you do matters. And I was like,
that's amazing.
It is amazing. I don't know where it came from, but thank you, rando person who did that. I appreciate that and need that message.
I like that. I like those things on TikTok and, you know, the little clips of people that would just walk up and hand somebody a note and walk away.
Yes.
And they film their reaction.
Oh,
now, granted, it's for views. I don't know how authentic that is, but that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it, you know, you see like the memes and discussions about people who are doing charity things. Like there's that one guy who's really big, Charlie, maybe.
Yes. Charlie. Yeah.
But everything, he films everything.
Yeah.
And that's a little because he's like changing people's lives, but also
it's a double-edged sword because he gets the money from the films to help has to have that. So yeah. Right. But like Mr. Beast is the one that
most people think
the,
about.
Yes, just
was
because
he like the first to start doing it.
I don't know, but I think he really capitalized on that. Plus, he's authentic. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't live in a big house, drives a Tesla, but just because he says it's environmentally conscious, whatever. But like he just loves making videos, and two, he has no association with money. Like, as a 24-year-old or whatever he is, that's odd to me. Like, he said he did have a nice house and stuff, and it got broke into, so.
Do you think, is he autistic?
No.
Oh. Like, when you say no association with money, like, he doesn't understand, like, its significance, or he
personally He personally doesn't, like, want flash. He's not materialistic.
Gotcha. That's cool.
A lot like me.
Shit.
Not because I'm rich, and it's just because I'm not in a position to be as materialistic as I'd like to be. But.
Do you think things like that happened, like, in the 80s and 90s, and we just don't know about it because we didn't have video?
Sure. Abby had, she gave me some weird sign. She's over coughing and dying.
Dying. I'm sorry. I don't know what the signal is. We don't have, like, a button. It's all access to
her. I have a button.
I didn't want to cough.
She doesn't have a button to touch.
No. I have no buttons to touch.
And also, she's just looking away from me at the wall.
Well, my feet hurt.
Oh, they're propped
up. My legs hurt. I've got everything propped up.
All right, so let's dig into cult of personality here.
The what?
Cult of personality.
Oh, okay.
Cult of personality.
I don't know what's happening right now.
That's CM Punk. I know. Okay. I know that's a real song, but it was CM Punk's song.
Okay. That was awkward. What do you want to dig into?
So, Abby dipped her feet in a cult.
Gary wants to start a cult. I'm going to be your girl that will taste test.
What's wrong with a little sampling?
I want to sample that cult for free. It was free. That's my love language.
Yeah.
So I was all in.
Is it free now?
She's
that's where they try to get you.
That's how that cult works.
We're a great community. Anyway, Abby went and did CrossFit, and hats off. Round of applause. Abby went every morning, Monday through Friday, 6:15 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Six.
Whatever.
I'm just saying it was six. So I've been very hesitant. I will confess and admit that, like, I had this thing, like, I was super, remember when Zumba was a thing? And I was like, I'm not ever doing Zumba. That seems like a cult. That is stupid. And I think I went to one Zumba class and I was like, I was correct. Not for me. But I've always been interested in CrossFit, but also did not want to like it because of the stereotype of CrossFit people. CrossFit people talk about CrossFit.
You know, it's like what Kenny Power says.
What's Kenny Power? I'm sure this is so intellectual.
He says he plays real sports. He's not trying to be the best at exercising.
So it turns out, like, when people were describing it to me, I'm like, oh, I've been doing those workouts just like on my own, where you do some sort of compound lift to start your workout. It's not a lot about like cardio, extensive list cardio, where you're doing like a long sustained cardio. You're doing something very short burst, not necessarily HIIT, but then you do these things called Metcons. And it could be any combination of exercises where there's lifting involved with some sort of like time factor, whether that be as many rounds as possible during an X set time, or you're doing it during something called EMOM, every minute on the minute you start.
All these fancy little catchwords. I like it though.
But I mean, and I knew those because of some of the folks, like I kind of just dabbled in this on my own and learning a little bit. When I started lifting weights, I started out very traditional, like I'm just going to lift heavy. Gary got me some, and that's what I knew. I've only known like lift heavy from playing basketball and, you know, those workouts. You know, we get really fancy and do like supersets and negatives or something one day, but it was just traditionally like, how hard can you lift three rounds of this, you know, for 10 reps? And that's where I started. What was the name of the guy, the workout that you gave me to start out with when I first started, right after I had Harlan?
Oh, Chris Jones.
And it was
booty
like
blaster.
It was just ridiculous stuff.
Shout out Chris Jones.
It was very lift heavy stuff. And I like that, but I started finding, I wasn't getting bored with it. It was just like, I was very confused about where does cardio come into all of this? And
If you're living under a rock, here's a little brief history of CrossFit.
Okay. I don't know it.
So. A gymnast and a celebrity fitness trainer from California named Greg Glassman, he was training police officers in the 90s, and it was during that time he learned that high-intensity workouts utilized a number of disciplines so that the police officers were generally prepared rather than excelling, like, in bench press. Like, you know, like, they were all around more fit. And his aim was to create a greater work capacity across broad time and domains. And he set up his own gym and created the term CrossFit in the year 2000.
Okay.
So the basic philosophy is you have a workout of the day, which that's the big element of CrossFit. It promises progression with challenging, scalable workouts. So that means like Abby as a beginner can do the same thing as the guy that's training for the CrossFit games. They do the same thing. It can be modified for each person.
Which was number one reason I never wanted to go to CrossFit. I would say number two reason I didn't want to go to CrossFit. I don't know how to do a pull up. I know how to do a pull up, and I know that since, like, I've not had to do one since 1988.
In gym class?
Right. Presidential fitness.
Like. Do you... Time out.
Okay.
Do you remember, like, in movies and everything, you would see in gym class the typical, like, they would drop the rope. You have to climb the rope to the ceiling. Sure.
Dress out.
What the hell would that ever happen? Like, we didn't have
I think it happened.
A rope? Like,
In other schools. There are ropes at CrossFit. I was really hoping at no point those suckers were...
Like battle ropes?
No, like ropes from the ceiling that you climb.
Ooh.
No, there's no there. So, a couple things that I've learned.
Hold on, CrossFit. Before you go back to that. Okay. The CrossFit Games, it's a play off the workout of the day. Who could do it the fastest, right?
Sure.
Started out in 2007. The first one, there's a couple $100 worth of prize. It quickly escalated to prizes totaling over millions of dollars. And in 2003, which is 3 years after it started, there were 18 affiliates, and then now there's over 3,000 affiliates worldwide in the present CrossFit universe. So it is a big business.
Yeah. So the good thing is, like, I didn't have to think about anything. I could walk in and somebody was going to tell me what to do. That was nice.
Yeah.
You know, there's been many times, like, I've looked at Gary, like, what do I want to do today? There was no choice. Like, this is what you're doing.
This is today. But there were no other options. Like, it wasn't like, oh no, I'm going to go.
Right.
I'm just going to get on the treadmill. Like, right. This is all you got to do today.
Right. And there are people that I think were rehabbing some stuff, and they were coming in just to get on the bikes and, you know, stuff like that. They were kind of coming and going. There was one, female that was in there doing her own workouts, and she could win all the CrossFit Games if I was concerned. I've never seen anything like it. She was amazing. So I really like that aspect of, like, it took the, you know, here, you don't have to think about it. Just come here and let's do this. And here's what you're going to do. Right down to the warm up. Like, hell, I don't warm up. I walk some laps.
The whole warm up, like, I see people, I have friends that do jiu-jitsu and stuff. And a big part of in CrossFit is the warm up, which is tougher than some people's workouts.
I had to run one day. What? Okay. Yeah. So that was different. And I like that part of it. There is a part of me, though, that I, you know, by about like day three, I had to realize, like, you know, it's been a really long time since someone has, like, come on, let's go. Let's get, come on, go harder.
Let's go.
You know, I'm like, the hell are you talking to? Like, it's me versus me in a gym. Yeah. And
now you got, it's in a group setting.
And that's different for me because I've mentioned before, like, exercise time is me time, but this is very social in a way. There's a way to, you know, you obviously you're in your own little world doing it.
But you at the gym, and for a lot of people, it's not a social place for you.
No.
And for me, not really by choice, but I don't avoid it. Like, I talk to everybody.
Wow.
Just because, I mean.
You got to get in there and work out and get home.
Go home, you got nowhere else to go.
I
don't know if I have a sign on me that says, hey, come talk to me, please. I would love to hear your story. Tell me about your day. But I get that. Like, you've been with me to the gym. Usually two or three people, easy, every time I go.
And no one speaks to me. At all.
That's because you're cold and not very welcoming. And maybe that's just my public personality coming through.
Shit. Well, I liked the CrossFits. I didn't hate the fact that, like, there was a coach and stuff like that. It was humbling.
So Saturday was supposed to be a, like, group helps. Like, explain it. Like, it's
Saturday, apparently there's only one class. So if you go, everybody comes at that one time. So, I guess, like, you have a team or a partner to get through the activities, and it's based on that. So, my person that I had been going with, Crystal.
Shout out Crystal for the invite. Yes,
and thank you for making me go every day. She was not going to attend that day, and I just didn't.
You weren't going to show up like, hey, friends.
No. Plus, by Saturday, I'm hurting. Like, I got up every morning and just forced my body and through that, and that was good. Like I ran the most I've ever ran one day. One day we had to row 500 meters, which you're like, it's far and it's hard.
Yeah.
And then you had to go run. Are you in moving your feet fast in a rhythmic motion and propelling your body forward? Something I don't do. 400 meters. And for the most part, I only stopped a couple times. But we did that for three rounds. And you're supposed to be able to do it in 5 minutes and come back and rest. I never got the rest time. Ever. That was really hard. But I mean, I was like, oh, I did it. But you're talking about a 15 minute to 20 minute time period of exercise. There was some lifting before that. Which I loved. I was like, give me the lifting things. I'll do those. The inclines and the... I love that.
I feel like I missed out on some of these, like Zumba, which is more for women. I get it. Like Redbox was a bit cold hit.
What's Redbox? The movies?
Yeah. I'm talking about like money that were...
Oh.
You know, and I'm not saying CrossFit is diminishing or going away. It's probably not. But like, and I'm pretty sure you could probably still find a Zumba class if you looked.
Sure, yeah.
And there's still a Redbox out there, but in their heyday, they're just like print cash. You know what I mean?
Sure. I think you would like CrossFit.
I don't know.
It's social, and I'm not a super competitive person. So, you know, give me the, like, what do I have to do to get out of here? Okay. I will do that because I will be compliant and do it. But am I going to try to be the badass number one? Never. Never, ever, ever, ever. But I feel like I push myself as hard as I can.
What was the name of this place again?
I think it's S3.
S3. See, yes. That could be a church, could be CrossFit, could be a farmer's market. Who's to say?
My one of the big problems for me is it's not 4 minutes from my house. Like, the gym is here, and I have a membership to this gym here, and that's hard for me to be like, I'll drive here and go do that. So,
yeah.
And like,
so like a drop in fee if you just want to come in, like,
I don't think so. I looked and I didn't see anything like that. So, but you know, I humbled myself a lot. There was a lot of humbling, but also a lot of reward and knowing what I can do with this big old fat ass.
Yeah. Packing all that ass.
So there was a pull up day. And
first of all, did you see the video I sent you of the girl doing pull-ups on the thing, and it slipped right up her asshole?
Listen to me. That was basically the pull-up option.
Yeah.
That was that if you can't do a pull-up.
You could stand, like, she was doing it with one leg. You could put both legs on it and do it.
I wanted none of that action. None of that. So I was like,
smoke.
So he was like, okay, now for a beginner, I would probably do the rings. And he showed me the rings, and you basically just sit on the floor and you pull yourself up. There was no, I was like, I'm like, am I just like lifting my head? What's happening? Like, I, in my head, I'm sure it looked disgusting. I'm sure it was gross. Like, is she just like humping the floor? What's happening? Mm. We had to do 21 thrusters, 21 pull-ups. Then you go back and do 15 thrusters, 15 pull-ups, and then you go do 9 thrusters, 9 pull-ups. And the thruster is like a squat into a push press, back to a squat and push press. So hard.
You know what's humbling?
What?
Right now, the Special Olympics are going on in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was watching some of the weightlifting. Somebody, there was a clip on it, you know, on somewhere. This dude goes out there and deadlifts 500 pounds like it was easy. And I was like, gosh, damn.
Wow.
And then watching some, I'm like, what? Like, this kid with Down syndrome benching like 450. I was like, man, you know.
That's a chromosome problem, Gary. It doesn't mean he can't be strong.
I'm not. That's not what I mean. I'm just like, shit, you know, it's probably awkward for them to be in the gym or whatever. Because I think the first guy had like cerebral palsy or some shit. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Bitch out there shaking like a leaf, and then it gets onto that bar, and I'm like, whoa.
That's wild. I'm reading Hard Landings right now as a part of my, which I was going to read anyway, but.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It is, what is life like for a kid? the future like for a kid with autism? And
turns out you can't just toss them into a home anymore.
Man, it's heavy. And this whole concept of like, so you think about like Special Olympics being created, like to create this play, like inclusion, right?
Right.
When we say that word inclusion. But I would, based on what I'm reading right now, the benefit of other kids with Down syndrome being with other kids with Down syndrome and autism the same way and whatever it is, whether it's cerebral palsy or whether it's I'm in a wheelchair, but that environment is actually, whereas in the past we've like said, no, don't segregate. That's horrible. Yeah,
but it's actually good for them?
Well, they're finding like the communities and stuff that the research is showing that communities where, and these jobs where you create a place for multiple people with like autism, for example, to work, it is so much more functioning and beneficial to their social life, to their happiness, and to their success than saying we're going to put this one IDD, individual with a disability, some disability, and what's the other word I'm looking for? I'm blanking right now. I've read the word IDD 1,000 times.
I don't know.
Delay.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Ideally, you're like, oh, but let's put them with the neurotypical people. And that should make them feel good about themselves. It, in reality, it doesn't necessarily. So something like the Special Olympics is so amazing because it gives that opportunity and place for that type of community to thrive within that, for folks that IDD to compete and yeah. And share those things. The quote that keeps standing out to me is the girl that said, all my life, she was in a wheelchair. She's like, I've been wheeled into rooms with people not in wheelchairs, but all I've ever wanted was to be wheeled into a room with other people in wheelchairs.
You ever seen Murder Ball?
I have not.
It's crazy. Like Bert interviewed one, the guy from Murder Ball.
Uh-huh.
It's wild. And then I remember he called him one day just to ask him if his dick worked.
Wow.
Because he's paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh, my God.
And he said, well, my wife's pregnant, so.
Oh, my God. Of course he did.
Like, but I think that's a valid question. It like, sure you is. Know, like, sure and is. I'm sure it didn't offend him. Like, that's, I'm glad you asked.
Yep.
Matter yes. of fact, let me show you a picture of it.
Oh, my God. I don't think it went that far. This book is heavy. It is hard. It is, it has me like.
Oh, our kid is
four. I've got
text. What can we open a car wash? What about what would be? We're going to open a laundromat.
Still want to open a laundromat.
Just opportunities and now, granted, Harlan is 4 years old, and we don't know what he's going to look like here. But you know, you're
basically she says like jobs, and so I'm at this crossroads with our own public education or just education in general for students with IDD because we're like, why are we teaching? What you know, we're spending time throwing kids into you know into algebra 2, for example. You know, I don't know.
Listen, but, I didn't need algebra 2.
Yeah, right. So where is the really excessive job skills and job training?
That's the biggest flaw with, or the biggest gripe I would say in the argument for like how our school systems are set up. Like, oh, I had to learn to play the recorder, but I don't know what taxes are, you know, which is
you don't even know taxes because somebody else does it for you. But,
no, but like,
I hear you. I
how to balance a checkbook, whatever, life skills. And
so
then
we
I think
swung
you
swung so hard. We swung so hard. Like, even when I read and I do things, I always try to make real world applications for my students. And the beauty about what I do is I'm teaching you how to think, which is something that turns
out you got
to
do every day.
You have to do a lot of critical thinking and interpreting words. It's kind of important. But I do think I look at, I'm talking specifically kids with IDD, this idea, or IDD, it's individuals. I don't know why I say kids with. Why are we not, you know, getting them used to, you know, a place where they would have to interact with others and going shopping on their own? And basically, it's like you need to start by age 11, really fostering some of those independent living
skills. But I feel like we didn't even do those things with Charlie to live.
Right. Guess,
and we're paying the price. We are paying the price,
you know. So that balance and reexamining what we do in education, I think is really important. That's my big takeaway so far. And also understanding, I need to understand more about the funding and the government, because as late as the 60s and 70s, group homes, not even group homes, institutions were still a thing. And in the early 1900s, it was nothing for someone to come in, a doctor or a medical professional to come in and tell a family who had a child with a disability, particularly a delay, probably like autism or something, and for them to say, you need to go put, for the sake of your family, for the sake of the community, you need to go put this child in this institution. And that was
completely my uncle. Like, that's in my family that happened. Now, I have an uncle with cerebral palsy who was blind, been wheelchair, like nonverbal, you know what I mean? And I think he was like 8 years old when they put him away. I say put him away, but it was one of those things, like, as a kid, I remember they would go a couple times a year to see him.
Sure.
You know, but they didn't raise him. You know, it's odd. Like, it's a super, sure. Like, my dad didn't like going to that place because mm-hmm. it, like, made him sad and all that stuff. And I remember we went, he's in Hazelwood, which is an awesome place by all accounts. Like, it's a rehab. And I think that you can swap nursing home out for that rehabilitation center. I don't know.
Right.
But, like, we went to, like, this Halloween thing or, like, fall festival there when I was little, probably 7 or 8 years old. And there's pictures of it, but I just remember, like, these people are different, and I didn't understand.
Right.
You know.
Right. That, so we swung heavy. There were some reports, like, in the 80s. God, what's that guy's name that always did, like, investigative reporting?
John Stossel.
No, but that's who I'm like thinking of, like a John Stossel type. Maybe it was John Stossel. I don't know. But they break open, and even like the Kennedys were the first like major like voices for like institutions. Look what happened to our sister. Because their one sister was institutionalized.
Yeah. Rosemary.
Yes. And but nothing was really getting done to like investigate the institutions, and there was no other option. So then it was like, okay, we'll just leave them in their, they want to be in their home. Like, let them grow up in a home. But then, so we're swinging so far into inclusion and, you know, create these school environments where they're a part of every experience. But she goes through all of these stories of these students who had wonderful public education experiences and were involved in things and put in plays and by all means just had, you know, what I would like a neurotypical-esque, a successful neurotypical type of school experience, but then they get out on their own and they're depressed and deprived because those like built-in opportunities for community, this is all about community, are completely removed from them.
Right.
And it's scary and sad, and like because we swung so hard away from institutions, like the laws don't even allow you. There are laws, like especially in places like Massachusetts, are really strict on how you can even individuals with disabilities, like what does that look like for them to live together? Because where do you cross the line between
who's taking care of who?
Community living, and this isn't really just an institution, a fancier institution. So in day programs and job programs, and how it's so hard to get.
Don't we have somewhere here in Kentucky that's like a college?
The Perkins, the Carl Perkins Center. Yeah. I think so. I think a friend of mine, her son just went and completed like a 2-year like vocational program there. I don't know.
That's where I should have went to college.
It's heavy. It's hard. It's a lot of information that is like swirling in my head that I feel very drawn to. I feel like I need to learn so much more about. I've started some podcasts on it.
I think we process that way different because I don't want to. Like when I take that information, it's like indexed just for because there's nothing actionable now for me to do, you know, at least for my son. But I want to have that there. So I'm not like ready to burn the system down. I'm just like in the waiting room. And plus, this is what I'm studying to try to.
Right.
You know, if they always say, if you want to fix something, fix it from the inside.
Sure. I do think, you know, it just opens up a huge, my eyes are open to like a big need, a hole in something that, granted, it, you know, it's unfair that I've been in education for 18 years and I'm just now catching on to this.
Old.
But, thank you. that I'm just now catching on to where we stand on this and where it is. But I feel like so are other people. Like, she's talking about her son who was autistic, who is autistic, but who was going through the going through school in the 90s when, like, IDEA is not that old. Like, it's not this age-old, you know, system, law of how we treat individuals with disabilities. So to think about that, to be on the forefront of that, I'm sure there were a lot of things that, that she's learning from. So,
oh yeah,
I don't think I necessarily want to burn the system down, but I'm ready to make sure that I am.
Granted,
not.
I think a lot of systems need burned down.
Sure, don't disagree. Don't disagree with that at all. I just to sit back and say, like, to index it feels too like the best thing she said that she did, which she was in the camp of I can cure this. He is going to be the most neurotypical autistic kid that I have. And so she spent a lot of his formative years fighting against it and trying her best to, like, flashcard him to death and play and everything that she could do.
Sure. Listen, I get that 100%. You pray, you wake up and he's normal.
Sure.
But here's the thing.
All the time, like, I think we're over this. I think we're past it. Like, it was a phase.
We grew out of it.
Right. There were times when he was like two or three that I was like, I think he did this and this today. But when it comes down to it, he's still reciting every damn line of Toy Story from the opening scene to whatever, and could care less who you are and what you have to say.
Yeah.
You know, there are still, we have like homework on a refrigerator right now that basically asks us to, like,
why is he autistic?
Why is he?
What do we see that?
What do we see that makes him, that fits him within to that criteria of autism? And, you know, I think
it's different now than it was before we got diagnosed, what we see in him.
Yeah.
Because listen, this kid is the friendliest little bastard you've ever met. Like, if you see him, like, if we introduce you to Harlan, he's gonna talk to you. He's gonna ask you your name.
Hi, what's your name?
He's gonna tell you his name, and then that's when the normal stops.
He probably won't listen to what your name is.
Yeah,
but he's gonna ask you. I wouldn't even say normal. Turns out, so, like, that whole social aspect kept me so long from getting hit, not so long, like years and years, but like I was hesitant because I'm like, he does make eye contact. He does want hugs and loves and snuggles.
Yeah.
Turns out autistic kids are very social, just in their own way. Like some of their social.
Dude, Harlan is the.
They want it. They just don't know how to do it. They want that social interaction. It just needs to be on their terms, or they don't do it the same way that a neurotypical person is social. So he craves that interaction.
Oh, I didn't tell you this. We went to Kroger. First of all, we had a watermelon. Harlan loved the watermelon. It was his heavy watermelon.
We don't know
why. He walks
or
in
where.
And the most traumatic thing probably of his 4 years of life to Abby gutting this fucking watermelon. She is cutting this bitch up. It is, and he freaks out. He does not know why she's cutting his watermelon.
My heavy watermelon.
So we go to get a new watermelon.
Fix it.
We're walking in.
That's really logical. We can't even finish this one watermelon, and we have another watermelon sitting on our table right now.
That's not to be eaten. It'll rot up there.
just replacing it.
But, so Harlan gets himself into the cart. He knows how to do it. Like, since he's been two, he's been too big to get his little ass in that seat. So anyway, he gets in the cart. I'm pushing the cart in, and there's a family in front of us.
Hang on, parent hack. You lift, you've probably seen this on TikTok or something, but you lift the part of the cart that is closest to you when you're pushing, lift that bottom thing out. It's like a little hatch, an opening door. Your kid can crawl in, and they can crawl out.
If you've ever pushed a cart into the cart stall,
I know.
That's what happens.
But it never occurred to me to lift that little hatch and let my kid crawl in until I saw it on Facebook. So suck it, bitch.
So anyway, a family's in front of us. This dad's talking to his kid. Calls him by name. For this scenario, we'll call him Jordan.
Okay.
We get into the store. Harlan says, "Hey, Jordan." And the kid just looks at him. He says, "Hey, Jordan." And the kid turns and he says, "How do you know my name?" And Harlan didn't know what to do from there, but he knew that kid's name was Jordan. It was, so I was like, damn, bro,
did you interact or help, or did you just walk on like a lunatic?
I said, hey, Jordan, this is Harlan.
Did the kid say, did anyone ever answer to this kid how he?
Oh, no. For all he knows, Harlan's psychic.
He didn't say, hey, you heard your name out there. He's good at remembering names or anything.
I don't know. Let that kid wonder. Fuck that kid. I don't even like Jordan. You're asking too many questions here.
I think I need to get you social training too.
Oh, listen.
With Harlan.
I agree.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm so proud of you, though. What day? So this time last year, Abby sent me a post. I was smack dab in the middle of doing 75 hard.
You just hit the over halfway point.
Yep. And now Abby's, she's at one of those critical points. She's almost 2 weeks in.
I hate it.
Do you have,
I don't know. It gives me routine and structure to my day. That's fine. The water is still so stupid. That's it.
That's
my biggest complaint.
Have you, one of the things people that have done it, what they say they realize is before 75 hard, they thought they didn't have much time. And now they realize they had way more time than they thought.
No, I told you, I was very adamant. The only reason I'm getting this done is because of my privileged circumstances this summer to have a son who has full-time childcare.
And a daughter who can take care of herself.
And a daughter who can take care of herself. And I'm working, but not by a
schedule or routine.
Yeah. Eight to five. That's the only way I'm getting it done. Do I think, I'm looking at could I potentially get a workout in daily? Yes. Could I do two once school starts? Hell no. Absolutely not.
I think that just adds to the healthier, lifestyle change.
Right. I've known I could get a workout in. It's just a matter of because I have now added this stupid ass app on my phone, it's like I can't fail. I got to go. So this morning I woke up sick. I don't know if I'm getting a delayed reaction to Harlan's stomach virus that he had or what, but Gary's instance response is here's a Zofran and I go out cold.
Which was surprising because we gave Harlan one and it didn't faze him when he was
unfortunately, going through his stomach bug. I was like, ooh, causes drowsiness. Mama's going to get a little nappy nap today. I did not get a nappy nap that day that we gave Harlan Zofran. So I am knocked out. I feel drugged all day today from the Zofran and just not feeling well. But I got a walk in this morning and it was hot and I was miserable and I came in. And I was just like, I just need water. I don't feel good. But I really feel like either I was having a heat stroke or dying. I don't know. I'm just now getting to where I can sit up. I slept all the way up to Moorhead and I slept on the way back. And I'm not really a sleeper that much. I don't sleep that much, but hopefully I'm getting over it. But I'm still going to get another workout in. I'm struggling with the water. I'm worried I will not get the water in today.
You will.
Because it's so hard. It is so
hard. That's the one thing that I've never found hard.
But when you were doing it, you were working. I think if I was at work, I could do it better. Because I have that water fountain right
now. I'm a good chugger.
I can, but it makes me, today it does not make me feel good.
Doesn't sit well.
But if I'm being active and I'm doing something, like I've been cleaning different rooms out, I've literally forgotten to eat and drink for those times. That is not me. I am not that person. I don't understand how people forget to eat food.
I mean, listen, I've been on a good schedule about 41 years. It's going to be all right. I ain't forgetting shit.
No. So I will go and I'm like, crap, I'll have like a whole coffee sitting there and a water sitting there. And I'm like, I've not touched either one of those. Because when my ADHD gets in its zone, things just do their own little thing. Speaking of, I think our daughter has some form of ADD or ADHD just based off cleaning out her room.
Yeah, Charlie was gone to 4-H camp this week, and Abby held the fort down in the cleaning department.
The one thing I wanted to do was clean her room out and like give her a fresh start when she gets back, and it looks good. And oh my gosh, we found like 7 different charger blocks. Money. I found about $20 plus gift cards.
But I think you talk to any parent of a 14-year-old.
I think it's the girls, though. I think the girls are grosser than the boys.
Because they got cooties. What are you talking about? Of course.
They're just like little hoarders. A friend, Emily, sent me a picture today, and she was like, why are girls hoarders? They just keep everything. So
I don't know, Abby. That
does not sound like
that tracks all the way through adulthood.
I'm getting better, and I want you to.
Do you want to tell everybody about your purchase this week?
Yesterday.
Okay, guys, listen. I get pictures constantly of retro furniture, couches that look like
mid-century modern.
What the fuck ever?
I like ugly things.
They're
I like
ugly.
Ugly. I like ugly. When,
listen. I'm not. I don't have an artistic eye or a knack for beauty other than picking my women. But Jesus Christ, this stuff is. Bleh.
If it is orange, avocado green, and brown.
If it looks like baby poop smeared.
I love
it. We're all about it.
I love it. So there is a local place that I don't go into often. Number one.
Because she would bankrupt us.
Yeah, I don't have money to go in there often. And during the school year, it's just like, if I've got a Saturday, I am not. Like, there was a time, pre-kids, that was my ideal day, was to go thrifting. And I work with some, like, a young couple, and they thrift and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I remember those days of going and just,
I like new stuff. I ain't trying to. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Is that the old adage?
Yes, there's just something. And most of our stuff, you know, if I am keeping it at this point, like either I've redone it or it came from somewhere cool. But I go in there, have like this place is closing, and I've redone part of Charlie's room just to like make it look neater. And she's like, I really want to redecorate my room. When Charlie started decorating her room in seventh grade, she wanted like these psychedelic mushrooms. She took all of my brother's old posters. So she's got like anything from Smashing Pumpkins to like Johnny Cash posters on her wall. Dazed and Confused stuff. It's just wild. And it's just messy. And she was like, I want to like make it more cohesive. And I was like, absolutely. Awesome. So this place is going out of business. Let's go see if we can find, like, there's a tapestry there. Let's go see what we can find for you. Well, in looking for her, I found two.
No. You knew they were there before you even got there.
Oh, I knew. But I didn't know how much they were. So I was, like, going to just totally.
like, don't let her. She didn't just stumble upon these things. No. I've seen them there.
Like, they've been there for a long time. I knew they were there. I knew a lot of things were there. But I didn't know they, and everything was half off. But these were not. These were like firm. Price was firm. And so I was going to get them. I was like, I saw that firm on there. I was like, and I heard her talk to somebody else. I was like, oh, are those chairs on half off? She was like, no, sorry. That's what we have in them. That's what we need back out. I'm like, all right, gotcha. Checks. All right. So I just kind of continued shopping with Charlie. Sad about my bright ass yellow leather mid-century modern chairs.
That's where y'all need to get you a supportive spouse like me.
And Gary's like, get them. I'm like, but they're not half off. I'm not paying that much for furniture for two chairs. I can't. Sorry. He's like, do they make you happy? I was like, that's not a good reason to buy something because.
It was in this case.
He said, well, just go get them. And so I told the woman, I was like, okay, I want the chairs. So I have two chairs, which to be fair, we do not have
we
chairs.
We needed them, yeah.
We actually need two chairs.
Yeah. I fell through. I broke one. Hence the reason why I'm getting my stomach all mashed up so I don't break chairs.
Also, if anybody knows how to patch some what's that called?
Drywall. Yeah, we'll cover it up till we leave. surprise!
I don't think it works that way. We've lost our deposit a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I'm really pumped about my chairs. And I found a picture, another Lord's Supper painting. I want to collect
weird. Shout out Connie on that. She got you into it.
She got me my first one. So I think I just want to make a collage of the Last Supper.
All right.
All right. What?
It's summertime.
Summertime. And I'm living season.
Some of the things I remember most about summer is the music.
I agree with that.
If you want to get a free month of Amazon Music Premium, go to getamazonmusic.com/closeenough. The first month is on us, and we're about to throw out some bangers that we want you to listen to. I've got on deck here the top summer songs of the 1990s.
Aww.
I'm going to throw them out at you, and I just want to get your reactions.
Mine?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Still My Sunshine. I think that was the late 90s.
Sunshine. Yeah. I mean, that is like a song you'd hear on the radio while mm-hmm. you're driving something, but you wouldn't like put that on your playlist.
And some of these, like, let's go early 90s. The Sign, Ace of Base.
Oh, gosh. Yes. I distinctly remember in middle school, we had to walk into the gym, and that's where you sat first for the day until you got dismissed. And somebody would play a radio during that time, and that was always playing.
Bitch by Meredith Brooks.
Oh my gosh. That is straight up basketball camp, Alicia Stevens. We would sing that song on the bus where we were going. Like, we just loved screaming, I'm a bitch. That was our jam.
Notorious B.I.G. One More Chance. Mm-hmm. What year do you think that was? 1994. Jesus Christ.
I was going to say 95.
Destiny's Child, Bills, Bills, Bills.
I don't remember that song. But I know, like, I don't. And I love Destiny's Child.
New Kids on the Block, Step by Step.
When?
That would be 1990.
Okay, I was going to say, that's odd.
Hanson.
Somebody did like they slowed the lyrics down on TikTok, and they're like, wow, you didn't realize how accurate these lyrics were. Like, aside from the mbop part, but yeah. Like the relationships and people changing. That's exactly how it sounds.
Jennifer Lopez.
If you had my love and I gave you all my.
What year was that?
97.
Yeah, you are correct. Right on the money, 1997. This one gets me. Tag Team, Whoop, There It Is.
Oh my gosh.
It's again, funny.
I'm
why was
middle
it,
school basketball.
What this reminds me of is the summer going to Kings Island. I want to say a church. There was a concert there. Quad City DJs.
Shut up.
The Train. I know it's not quite Whoop There. What year do you think Whoop There It is?
Hang on. I could do this. 92, 93.
93 is correct. This was later. Christina Aguilera, Genie in a Bottle.
Loved it.
This was 1998. So we were in our prime here. Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back. I didn't know that was a summer hit.
That was not 1998.
Christina Aguilera was 1998.
Oh, I was going to say Baby Got Back was, okay.
Pay attention here.
I am. You said it wrong.
I didn't. I doesn't say what God. Year this is. Sir Mix-a-Lot. It doesn't say what year. Baby Got Back.
That's elementary school.
Okay. Los Del Rio. Hey, Macarena.
Could do with
that. Spent 46 weeks at the top of the Hot 100 chart in 1992.
Waterfalls.
No, that was? Yeah.
Oh, I thought I'm moving ahead of you.
Number two, TLC Waterfalls.
I love this. I love everything about it. I wanted to be Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
Get that number right. One is wrong. I don't know.
What do you mean it's wrong? I mean, it's obviously based off of a...
Brandy and Monica, The Boy Is Mine.
I was not...
15 weeks of the summer at number one in 1998.
Like, I like TLC, but I was not a big female hip-hop... Like, Brandy, Monica, I just didn't dive into a lot of that. But I was also... What year was that?
1998.
Yeah, I had really abandoned... a lot of my of the pop stuff, and was like, I want to listen exclusively to like Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and be that girl. But I did like my alternative stuff, Bush, and
let's look at some honorable mentions here. If you like, if you have a song that just reminds you of summer, let us know. Ooh, Toby Keith just revealed
Lisa Loeb. Shoot. You say stay. Yes. That reminds me of being at the city pool when I was a youngster.
We've got.
Did you ever hear of the city pool?
Like once with you. Everything I do it for you by Bryan Adams. Quit playing games with my heart. Backstreet Boys.
I was not a Backstreet Boy.
Freak Like Me, Idina Howard. Whatever happened to her?
I'm not sure.
Summer Girls by LFO, Miami by Will Smith, Semi Charmed Life by Third Eye Blind, Gin and Juice by Snoop Dogg, Fly by Sugar Ray.
Is Sugar Ray, hang on, would you slow the hell down? Is Sugar Ray the one that...
Martin McGrath.
Who's the one that like, maybe no. Who's the I Get Knocked Down? I don't know.
That's Chumbawamba.
Who is it that, like, they've recently recorded and he was performing and he's, like, irate and angry and mad at, like, the audience? Damn it. Well, who sings, what was the one you just said? Not Chumbawamba, the one before that.
What, Fly?
Yes, I just want to fly. I think it's him.
Maybe. We Like to Party. What I Got. What Is Love by Llamas by Enrique Iglesias. So... What's the, I wonder what it is now. Like, what's the, what, because it's hard. You don't know what the summer hit is until probably like 4th of July when you're like, man, that's a banger. And it's been played 9,000 times.
I love this little tradition. This is such a cool tradition.
Yeah.
But my friend Kathy Turner and her husband, every year they create a Turner Family Summer playlist and everybody contributes songs to it. And that becomes like
their summer soundtrack.
Yeah. So at the time, smartphones and stuff, but like we're talking CDs during CDs times, they would record, he would burn it to a CD and that's what the family would like listen to and stuff on trips and everything. And I love that.
What movie is this from? 90s?
You know I won't know this answer. I don't know why you asked me.
Robin Hood.
Nope. Look into my eyes. Okay.
So I just wanted to, I know summer's on us. What?
At the 10th annual Tequila and Taco Music Festival, it's going to be Sugar Ray and Bone Thugs and Harmony.
That's a solid, man. That's a cash grab right there.
Wow.
Couple things before the end of the hour. When we get done podcasting, guys, we sit and we judge how the episode goes by how long it took. Now, we're 51 minutes in now, and it feels like we just started talking. And now, after the podcast, I get to go get ready to leave the nest.
Are you excited?
Not really. Like, this is what I've been saying. Now, anybody that knows me knows that my whole career, I was attached with maybe one of the greatest state troopers ever, Bobby Motley.
Yep.
He's like that uncle, you know. I don't know how to explain it, but he's literally like my family.
Yes.
Like, he was my surrogate dad after my dad passed away.
You guys have a very unique relationship.
Yes. And I was never afraid to, like, challenge him. And
I think it's great. I think careers need that. Like, you have to have
work. Yeah, and he, like, I don't think he saw it in the moment, but after the fact, he was like, I'm glad you weren't a yes man.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you're dumb as hell. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. But I felt comfortable enough to tell him that.
We could work on your delivery.
True. But no. In that sense, like with him, that. Yeah.
Right. It works. It does that. I can't. You've often said this too, like it's at school. I can't just walk up to people and be like, that is dumb as hell. You have to approach. There
you
is
say,
some sort of,
with all due respect. That, I think that gets you out of any scenario. No, so with all due respect, no, you're dumber
no.
than shit.
No.
Try it. See how it works.
I will not.
No, but, thank you. So when, you know, he hired me for the position I'm in now, and like I learned this whole new aspect of crime in like the cargo theft world.
Yeah.
So I've got to like be immersed in that, and I've gotten to go to cool places because he's been a presenter. You know, he was very well known in the industry, both like in law enforcement and the private industry. But he retired. There's a new sheriff in town. His name's Gary Thomas. So
that was the closest to a spit take that we almost had.
I get the invite. They want me to speak. So
I'm so proud of you. That's awesome.
So I'm excited. I tell him, guess what? He's going to be there.
Of course he is.
But he has to hear me. Like I got to throw a little bit of because all that shit that his presentations, guess they were my words.
They were your words?
Yeah.
So you're just outing him right here, right now.
He knows that. Now he has a certain flair in his public speaking that I don't
think you can get away with it.
I can't. No. Nor do I. That's not my style.
Right. But you did say, like, we did have a conversation earlier about, you know, you want this presentation to go well, but yeah. You don't want to get up there and just give a PowerPoint.
Oh, yeah. I put Dwight Schrute. Like, the whole first half is I want to be a discussion. But that's hard. I think my time slot plays good into it because I'm, like, I'm not the first one after lunch. So I'm, like, mid-afternoon.
Good.
But far enough away from the open bar that, like, people aren't getting antsy and wanting to leave to get ready.
Oh, there's an open bar?
Oh, yeah.
Damn. I wish I could go.
Yeah.
And you'll be in Memphis. So
Abby was going to go, but just life.
Kids, man.
We had a big plan. Like, we were – the podcast conference that we were scheduled to attend been postponed to October. Also, I want to give a plug right now to Veercast Digital Media. They just opened up a digital studio. Fair. That you can become. It's in beta. I've been testing it.
Are you a digital studio? Like, it's a studio, but physical place.
Right. It's an interface that you use. So we use StreamYard. Like when I do Beers and Beards podcast, I use StreamYard, which I was sponsored by Veercast, but they're like, hey, we can do that. So Matt and Tim have made their own. So we're working through the bugs, but that's how we're going to record our podcast. So I'm very excited for that.
So were we supposed to do it this time or?
Yeah, we can't. Like, I don't want to say, hell no, it's not ready yet, but that
gotcha.
You can sign up now. And as you know, there's beta testers like me.
So what are you going to do in Memphis when you're there?
So, like the only night I've really got free is tomorrow night.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm hoping somebody wants to wine and dine me.
Wine and dine you?
Yeah. And that's, you know, you get these industry people, them corporate credit cards take you out.
You gotta make connections here. You gotta reach out.
Who are you talking to? I'm the networking king.
I'm sorry. You'll make eye contact.
You talked about how, I mean, we just went over how I am at the gym. Imagine a place where they actually know who I am.
Excuse me. I have totally.
You're excused, lady. You're excused.
Totally. Underestimated you.
So yeah, and it was weird because when the people from Tapa, that's what we're going to, it's like this is the biggest one they've had as far as people that are going to be there, and I'd like to think it's because they heard out, they saw the roster and they're like, oh, Gary Thomas is going to be there, we can need to go listen to him.
Is there like a playbill, a poster, and you're like, and some like
there's an agenda cheesy. And I'm on it. So you know I had to send my headshot in.
Yes, it's so cute. Can that be our podcast picture this week?
Yeah,
cutie.
I was talking. I'm going with Steve Spurlock, the guy I work with, and I'm like, we got to give a headshot and a bio.
And so I got excited because I was like, oh, come home and we'll have a photo shoot. And he was like, no, Abby, we have like IDs and stuff.
Yeah, for that. A work picture to use. Glamour shot. We went to the mall and got.
Oh my god!
You know the ones with when the guys would do it, they'd hold their collar up.
Yes. And, oh my gosh! Bring back the glamour shots.
Is it not a thing anymore?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I don't even know. Our malls, I know, like our malls.
Amazon's killed everything.
Right.
No.
Right.
Our malls are closing at a rapid pace because they're so damn expensive.
Sure.
Like to upkeep.
Yeah. A part of that. So, like, that's like a community, like a place to hang out and to like hang out with others. But
nobody does that anymore.
Yeah.
We never had a mall in small town Eastern Kentucky.
No.
We had. The mini mall. It was literally just a little connector between like Roses and the other row of stores.
But it had
like it wasn't even like all the stores were connected. Like it was like that one breezeway. It was like the sundry store and the music store. It was in that.
The sundry store.
Oh yeah.
I distinctly remember seeing the fountains.
Yes, and I don't know that I ever got those drinks.
I was gonna say I never whatever drink that was. I didn't get it because it was probably like you're getting an ice water. Shut up.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
So, damn, I missed that.
Isn't that
what was the music store there?
Couldn't tell you. I mean, I remember On Cue and Main Street Music is as far back as my brain can go.
Yeah.
So I can't remember anything else from that.
I remember the sundry store.
It's awesome.
I remember Roses going out of business and my sister, shout out to Amy. Mm-hmm. 40th birthday this week.
I bet she didn't want you to say that.
40. She old as hell.
Join us, Amy.
Yeah. In
your 40s. It's liberating.
We are almost AARP age. But she bought Tim McGraw's Indian Outlaw CD. Oh, and it was like $4.
Babe, the whole CD.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, when you buy it, it would be 5 foot long. It was in that holder.
Yes.
Yeah, that's core memory unlocked.
Wow. And they would have to, gosh.
Yeah, it was like the anti-theft device.
Yes. Now they've gone to stickers. Wow. Wow. I totally forgot about those. I'm going to linger with that for a second. That was a good memory.
And that's how we're going to end it this week.
See,
if you made it this far, I love you to death. If you appreciate what we bring to the table, you like us in the least little bit, share it. Tell somebody. I'm trying to up them numbers.
Give us some feedback.
Yeah. I know people listen. I get the report every week. Sometimes I check it every day just to see, you know, if the internet still likes us. They do.
Does it do better when I share the podcast?
No, because it does better in the first, like, apparently people know that it's at, like, their whatever podcast app it says, you know, there's a new episode.
Cool.
So the first, after we release it, the first few days are the best.
Okay.
But then it rallies on the weekend. Like it rallied yesterday.
Before I always episode. Listen. I always binge listen to everything. What do you listen to right now? What's your podcast?
The Bussin' with the Boys.
Yeah. You have a new one.
Yeah.
Bussin' with the Boys.
Yeah. Do you know what that means? They're in a bus.
That's what I assumed. Yeah.
They're in a bus. It's two NFL players.
Yeah.
Will Compton, Taylor Lewan. I don't know how you say his name. They're funny.
That sounds good.
Super funny. The clip, if you've not, seek out this clip from the Pat McAfee show this week.
Oh, my gosh.
Just Google Pat McAfee and Owen. Owen's an 8.5-year-old boy who calls in the Pat McAfee show, tells him how much he loves him and appreciates how he's inspirational, how he talks about sports, how he talks about his life, and then there's a plot twist. I won't spoil it for you. I want your general reaction.
Don't listen to it in public or in front of your kids.
Nah, that's not.
Unless your kids are used to language.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it wasn't. United States is the number one country that listened to this week. The number two country, it was not Denmark.
What was it?
Belgium. So shout out Taiwan, India, Germany, Mexico, Belgium, and Albania.
Hey.
We love you.
Friends. Invite us out.
I'm going to Memphis. Abby's going to have a wonderful week. We hope you have a wonderful week.
Yep.
I love you.
I love you.
And I love you. We'll see you next weekend.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Close Enough.
Leave us a like on our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at Close Enough Pod.
Consider giving us a share and review on whatever platform you found us on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.